It's Christmas Eve, and what that means is that it's the time of year when we celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus. Now, it's not uncommon for us to think about Jesus as that cute, cuddly little baby. You just want to kind of squeeze his cheeks, and he's there in that manger, and he's in, wrapped in the swaddling clothes, whatever that means. But as we consider the story of our Savior this evening, I'd like to consider the story of Jesus in light of the superhero stories that we find in the comic books and in all of the superhero blockbuster movies that are coming out. And as I draw this comparison, we're going to quickly discover that the story of our Savior Jesus is, without debate, the greatest superhero story ever told. Now, in order to prove my point, we're going to spend our time this evening looking at three things that make every superhero story a great story. And as we do, we're going to see what the Bible says about Jesus' superhero suit. We're also going to consider Jesus' sacrifice. And finally, we'll consider Jesus' salvation, which he's provided for us. So with this as our outline, I want to begin our study by first considering the backstory that leads up to the superhero suit that Jesus actually wore. Now, in order to explain what I mean, let's first examine the importance of a superhero's backstory. For example, let's take a moment to consider the backstory of that superhero named Superman. As the story goes, Superman was born on the planet Krypton. His birth name was Kal-El. And right before his planet was destroyed, his father, Jor-El, put him in a rocket and sent him to the Earth so that he could survive. Then after being discovered and adopted by the Kent family of Kansas, Kal-El grew up with the name Clark Kent and then later on started discovering his superpowers and he later became known as Superman. That's the backstory of Superman. And that's a great backstory. And yet, I'm sure that we all realize here that it's not a true story. Some of you are like, what? What? Superman's not true? He's not a true story. Superman isn't real. That being the case, I believe that Jesus' backstory is actually a better story than Superman's backstory. And the reason why is because it's a true story. Now, in order to prove my point, and in order to get into the backstory of Jesus, if you would look with me there on the screen, because there we find the words of the Apostle John. There John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in verse 14, he goes on to say, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, here in these verses, we learn that there was this being at the beginning of time, and this being was called the Word. And this being known as the Word, he was there with God, and not only that, but he was God. This being known as the Word was there at the beginning. He was with God and was God at the same time. And then one day, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, what this means is that there was this part of God who at some point in time put on a human suit, and that happened there in the womb of a girl named Mary. I should remind you that Mary was a young virgin girl living in Israel. And one day the angel Gabriel told her that she would be giving birth to God the Son, or the Word. As a matter of fact, if you would look with me here at Luke chapter 1, I'm beginning at verse 30, because there we learn that the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "What you talking about, Gabriel?" Actually, she says, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, here in these verses, we learn that the baby Jesus was different from any other baby ever born. You see, the baby Jesus was actually the supernatural Son of the Highest. And we also learn that he would grow up to become this everlasting King. So we see then that Jesus is actually the everlasting Word of God, and the everlasting Word of God put on a human suit there in the womb of Mary. And what this also means is that Mary actually gave birth to a human baby who was also the supernatural Son of God. Now, with all of this backstory in mind, let's take a moment to consider the superhero suit then that God the Father chose for his super son. You see, most superhero suits are designed to enhance the powers of a superhero. For example, I'm sure you all know about Batman, and I'm sure you all know about Iron Man. They both created suits, you see. They both created these suits that would enhance their power. These suits that would make them stronger and faster than the villains that they were facing. What about Spider-Man's suits? It was actually designed to create super strong webs which would help him to fight crime. And while these make-believe superhero suits are pretty sweet, I mean, I wouldn't mind having one. But the fact is this, Jesus wore a suit, not that was designed to enhance his superpowers, but he actually wore a suit that was designed to lessen his superpowers. You see, in eternity past, God the Son decided to put on a human suit because the people here on earth wouldn't be able to handle the magnitude of his infinite power. He's so powerful that he had to put a suit on to contain it and to dampen it so that we wouldn't be just completely destroyed by his power. Now, in order to explain what I mean, if you would, look with me here at John chapter 18. I want to begin there in the middle of verse 1 where we learn that Jesus went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered, and Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all these things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" Now get the scene real quick. These officers and troops are coming to arrest Jesus, and as they find him there in the garden, he says, "Hey, who are you looking for?" And there in verse 5, they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now get this. When he said to them, "I am," John tells us that they drew back and fell to the ground. They come for Jesus. Jesus says, "I am," and they fall down. Now, as we consider the temple officers of Israel and their attempt to arrest Jesus, when they found him, Jesus didn't sling some webs at them. He didn't pull out some sort of weapon to defend himself. He didn't practice some sort of awesome karate or anything like that. No, he merely spoke two words, and they all fell to the ground. He said, "I am," and they fell down. Now imagine for a moment, how much power would you need to have in order to defeat your enemy with two words? And not like big words, but just two little words. "I am." This is clearly more power than any make-believe superhero found in the comic books and movies of the world have. In order to catch a glimpse then of Jesus' infinite power, look with me there at Matthew 17. There Matthew tells us that Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Now here in these verses, we find Jesus. He's offering Peter, James, and John a peek behind the mask, so to speak. He's offering them a little glimpse of his infinite power. And they discover that behind Jesus' human suit was the infinite power of the Almighty God. And what this means is that Jesus is the greatest superhero. And the reason why is because he actually had to wear a human suit so he could shield us from his infinite power. He didn't need a super suit to enhance his power. He needed a human suit to protect us from his power. Well, not only is Jesus the greatest superhero because he had the best superhero suit of all, but he's also the greatest superhero because his super sacrifice that he made for us. Now, with this in mind, let's take a moment to consider the importance of a superhero's sacrifice, because the fact is, every great superhero is willing to make sacrifices in order to spare and save the people that they love. For example, I'm sure many of us have seen the Avengers movie. The Avengers is this group of superheroes who they were all willing to go and sacrifice their lives in order to stop the evil and alien invasion from destroying the earth. And though this battle was against all odds, they pulled it off and they saved the day. That's a nice fictional story. But what about Superman? You might not know this, but Superman actually ends up dying as he sets out to save the people of Metropolis from the attacks of a evil villain named Doomsday. Or what about Flash? Flash also sacrificed his life so that the earth could be spared from the destruction caused by an antimatter cannon. Now, all of these wonderful stories present us with the sacrificial love of a superhero. And yet I would argue that the sacrificial love of Jesus is greater because it's a sacrifice that actually happened. And it happened nearly 2,000 years ago. Listen, the whole reason that God the Father sent his only begotten Son to the earth on that first Christmas morning, it was so that Jesus could become the greatest superhero ever by offering himself as a perfect sacrifice. As a matter of fact, if you would look with me there at Galatians chapter 4, I'm beginning at verse 4 because there Paul tells us that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now here in this verse, Paul tells us that God sent forth his Son to be born of a woman, and that's of course the Virgin Mary, and he did this so that Jesus could come and redeem or save those who had broken the law. Those who had been sinners, those who had made mistakes, those who had committed all sorts of crimes. Well, Jesus came to redeem them. And listen, that's all of us. That describes every single one of us here this evening. We're all guilty of breaking God's laws. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, which means that we all deserve God's perfect punishment. People want to talk about God being a loving God, and it's true that God is a loving God, but he doesn't owe us love. But if we've sinned, he owes us punishment. And we've all sinned. Therefore, we all deserve the perfect punishment of God. Thankfully for us, God is love. And because God is love, he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, who came and offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And that's exactly what Paul was writing about here in Philippians chapter 2. Look with me there at verse 6, where he tells us that while Jesus was in the form of God, or in other words, he's referring back to before the point in time when he became a man, Jesus was in the form of God, and yet he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. From this we see that Jesus is the greatest superhero ever because he literally took the punishment that we deserve by dying on the cross for the mistakes that we've made. And while comic book heroes have made similar sacrifices for make-believe people in a make-believe city, the fact is that Jesus is a real superhero who was truly sacrificed. He offered himself up for us. so that we could be saved from the everlasting punishment that we deserve. Now, this brings us to our final point, because Jesus is not only the greatest superhero because of his super suit, and he's not just the greatest superhero because of his super sacrifice, but he's also the greatest superhero because he alone can save us from the enemy of our soul. Now, with this in mind, I should point out that the greatest superheroes always have a supervillain that they must defeat. For example, Batman has Ra's al Ghul. He has Bane, and he also has the Joker. The X-Men, they have Magneto, and they have Juggernaut. Spider-Man is battling with Venom, and Superman must defeat the evil Lex Luthor. And as we consider all these make-believe supervillains, I should point out that there actually is a real supervillain who's attempting to destroy our lives. He's come to kill, and he's come to steal, and he's come to destroy us. You see, the Bible tells us that there's this fallen angel known as the devil, or Satan, or Lucifer. And the Bible tells us that this fallen angel, the devil, and his demons, the other fallen angels who followed him, they're attempting to deceive us. And please grasp this. They want to deceive us so that we might reject the salvation of our Savior and remain under the power of Satan's spell. But those who will simply receive the sacrificial love of Jesus, they're going to be saved from the eternal torment that God created for the devil and those who follow him. Now, with this in mind, let's consider the opening lines of that traditional English Christmas carol, which is called God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. We sang it a little bit earlier. The carol that we sang at the beginning of this service, it begins like this: God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ, our Savior, was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Now, here in the lyrics of this song, the author was helping us to see that the baby Jesus who was born on Christmas Day is also the Christ who was sent to save us from Satan's power. In order to further prove my point, we should consider the message that an angel from heaven presented to a group of shepherds. Luke tells us in his gospel account that an angel appeared to some shepherds there out in the wilderness and in the field, and these angels came to announce the birth of our Savior. As a matter of fact, look with me there at Luke chapter 2. I want to begin reading at verse 8, because there Luke tells us that there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now, here in these verses, we find this angel from heaven. He's telling this group of shepherds that there's this baby who would be the Savior. There was this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in this manger, and this baby would be the Savior, Christ the Lord. And listen, the only way that this angel could be referring to Jesus as a Savior is if Jesus actually provided a way for us to be saved from the trap of Satan's power. The only way that the angel could say, "Hey, that baby is going to be a Savior," is if that baby actually became a Savior. And that's exactly what he did. He became a Savior by dying for our sins on the cross. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he was actually defeating the devil. And I don't know how the devil was confused about this, but what we know is that through his sacrifice there on the cross, he's provided salvation to those who trust in him. He took the punishment that we deserve so that we can receive the forgiveness that we don't deserve. That being the case, I believe that Jesus is the greatest superhero ever, because he is the Savior who has provided salvation to every person who simply trusts in him. Now, as we consider the superhero suit and the super sacrifice and the salvation that Jesus has provided for us. It's my hope that we'll look at the little baby Jesus tonight. As we consider the little baby Jesus lying there in that manger, I would hope that we would look at that little baby Jesus with a greater sense of awe and wonder. And as we prepare our hearts to celebrate Christmas, I hope that we'll all take a moment to realize that the story of our salvation is the greatest story ever told. The reason why is because it's a true story about a real-life superhero who was sent to save his people from the satanic trap of never-ending torment. I think that Matthew sums it up best in Matthew chapter 1. If you would look with me at the beginning at verse 18, because there Matthew tells us that the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Here in this verse, we see that Jesus is the greatest superhero ever because, according to this angel from heaven, the baby Jesus was the Savior that God sent in the form of a man so that he could save his people from their sins. And with that, I want to conclude this Christmas Eve study with a simple question for every single person here tonight. And that question is this: are you his people? Are you his people? His name is Jesus, and the angel says that he will save his people from their sins. Are you his people? Because if not, then there's no salvation for you. Either you are the people of Jesus or you're not. Either you've invited him into your life or you haven't. You've either received that free gift of forgiveness from him or you're still in your sins. And on that day of judgment, when every person stands at the judgment throne of God, he's going to separate everyone into two lines. Those two lines, there's going to be one line where his people stand. And there's going to be another line where those who did not receive him stand. And to those who are in the line of his people, we will hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. And to all those who are standing in the other line, what they will hear is, depart from me, lawbreaker, I never knew you. And then they'll spend the rest of eternity trapped with Satan and all the demons, and they'll all be in torment together for the rest of eternity. Now, that's harsh, but that's reality. And the fact is, God doesn't want that for us. He sent his Son to save us. All we have to do is become his people, and we do that by faith. By simply trusting in Jesus and receiving by faith the forgiveness of sins that he offers us. And if we'll trust in him and receive that free gift of grace, then Jesus becomes our superhero who saves us from the punishment that we deserve. And that's why I believe the story of Jesus is the greatest story ever told. Let's pray.